Welcome to Believers Faith Fellowship. It's our hope that you will be blessed by the word. For more information about our worship services, please visit bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org.
Psalms 127 and 1. I'm going to read from the version they have here. A song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. I don't want to do anything I do in vain. I hate pointless stuff. Anybody just hate pointless stuff? Anybody hate pointless conversation? We talk 30 minutes and I still don't know what you're saying. Yeah, anybody hate, I don't want to come to church and it be pointless. I want God to speak and I want what God builds through me to be long lasting. Today I'm going to talk to you about how to build with authority, and I've got a couple of videos that we're going to use here to bring home a point. Building with authority. To build with authority, you must be building for the right reason. You must build it the right way. And you're going to produce right results. Authority is often abused because people can't handle power. Look at your neighbor and say, can you handle power? You get power in the wrong hands and you'll mess up somebody's life. Or authority is underutilized. Touch your neighbor and say, do you know the power you have? Satan could be running amok in your life, but you can tell him to cease, peace, be still, because open your mouth, say, I've got power. Now, the abuse of authority, watch this. Satan didn't get kicked out of heaven because he was sleeping with angels. Satan didn't get kicked out of heaven because he stole money. He didn't get kicked out of heaven because he cussed somebody out. Satan got kicked out of heaven because he usurped the authority of God. God takes serious his authority, and we're going to build with his authority. I want to set up, there's a movie that I love called Facing the Giants. Anybody ever seen that movie? If you hadn't, I'd recommend you go see it. They're the same people that wrote Fireproof and they wrote Flywheel, Courageous. And there's a clip from this movie I'm going to show to introduce my first point. You got to build for the right reason.
$10 for the person who can tell me who won the state championship a decade ago.
Walker Jennings.
No.
North Metro.
Stop guessing, you know it or you don't. How about 5 years ago?
Richland.
That was 3 years ago. You can't remember, can you? Leads me to ask a couple of questions. What's the purpose of this team?
Win ball games.
Then what?
We get a trophy and people talk about us.
Maybe, for a while. Then what?
I don't know. Get a scholarship, play for college, and coach Little League.
What are you getting at, Grant? You think we're just wasting our time?
If our main goal is to win football games, then yes.
You don't want us to win games?
No. Not if that's our main goal. Winning football games is too small a thing to live for. And I love football as much as anybody. But even championship trophies will one day collect dust and be forgotten. It's just that so far all this has been about us. How we can look good. How we can get the glory. The more I read this book, the more I realize life's not about us. We're not here just to get glory, make money, and die. The Bible says that God put us here for Him, to honor Him. Jesus said the most important thing you could do with your life is to love God with everything you are and love others as yourself. So if we win every game and we miss that, we've done nothing. Football then means nothing. So I'm here to present you a new team philosophy. I think that football is just one of the tools we use to honor God.
So you think God does care about football?
I think He cares about your faith. He cares about where your heart is. If you can live your faith out on the football field, then yes, God cares about football because He cares about you. He sent His Son Jesus to die for us so we could live for Him. That's why we're here. But see, it's not just on the football field. We've got to honor Him in our relationships, in our respect for authority, in the classroom, and when you're at home alone surfing the internet. I want God to bless this team so much people talk about what He did. But it means we've got to give Him our best in every area. And if we win, we praise Him. And if we lose, we praise Him. Either way, we honor Him with our actions and our attitudes. So I'm asking you, what are you living for? I've resolved to give God everything I've got. Then I'll leave the results up to Him. I want to know if you'll join me.
I want to present a philosophy to you at church. I got convicted this week. In order to build for the right reason, the Lord convicted me. And I don't ever want to get in this place. I want to build a nice building. I want to build a state-of-the-art building. I want to fill this church up 4 and 5 times. But that's not the reason we exist. We're not existing to build great buildings. I'm not raising offerings so you can just give and we have a big bank account. And they can say BFF is a mega church. Wow, can that pastor preach? Can that praise team sing? I think life is bigger than that. Our church exists so that you can be what God calls you to be. And as you grow, we'll build a place to maximize what God has placed on the inside of you. I told God I want my motive to be right. I never want to get up and preach with an ill motive. I want to preach to His people so that you can be what God calls you to be. I think life is more than being single and raising up, say, I want to have the picture perfect marriage. I want 2 kids. I want a big house. I want a nice car. I want to go on vacation every year. Life is more than your vacation. If you want to go on vacation, go on 5. If you want a big house, build a bigger one. But it's not about that. God said it's about your love for each other. He said, I want you to fall so far in love that somebody sees your marriage and said, if that's what it's about, that's what I want. If that's what raising kids is about, give me 10. I'm just playing. Give me the one I got. I want people to see if you're an entrepreneur, if you are whatever you are, I want you to do it in such a way that you are contagious. That you do things for God's purpose, God's plan, and not just about me. Because watch this. If it's about me when things don't go my way, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit. But if it's about God, I'm going to stick it out when I like it or when I don't. Because I know that it's all for His glory. Here's what you got to do. The second thing is, after you do understand God's plan and purpose, you got to find the why in your life and not the what. Oh, we got the what down. You ask me a question. What do you want? I want a big church. I want 1,000 members by the end of the year. I want a big bank account. I want all my debt paid off. That's what. God doesn't respond to the what. He responds to the why. Can I ask you a question? Why are you here? Why should God let you live another year? Why should you take up God's breath? What are you going to do with the time God has? What are you going to do to maximize all that God has given you? Many people don't have a why. Many people stand in an anti-position. I've seen pastors go start churches. Why are you starting a church? Well, I don't like where I was, and I'm going to show them how to do it. That's not a reason to start a church. You just upset because things didn't go your way. When God births anything, He birthed it for a reason. Y'all looking at me strange in here. I've seen people in relationships, and they're not in love with the person that they're with. They're in love with what they're not. Tell me if you ever heard this before. You're nothing like anybody I ever dated. You're so much not like the boyfriends I used to date. Watch that. They're not telling you they're in love with you. They're in telling you they're in love with what you're not. And they don't know who you are yet. I'll raise my own self offering on that one right there. They got to be in love with you because anti is not a position. The last thing is this. You got to have pure motives when you do what you do. If you don't have pure motives, you will do things for the wrong reason. You can do the right thing for the wrong reason. When you get your reasons, your motives right, God can trust you with favor. I pledged a fraternity in college, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. I pledged in 1988 in March, and I crossed the burning sands that month, 10/55/33 to be exact. Yeah. But watch this. I did that for me, but everybody cannot do that, and I'm going to tell you why. I pledged my senior year of college, and some people could have pledged, and I know I got how many college students I have in here? Wave my hand at me. I pledged my senior year and not my sophomore year because I would not be the man I am today, not because the fraternity corrupted me, but because I couldn't handle what comes along with it. Something happens when people put them 3 Greek letters on their chest. Folks that were just not desirable to the eyes, all of a sudden you get uncontrollably handsome or you get pretty to people. No, there's something that comes. I think, I don't know if it comes with the shirt or what it wears. And I've seen people lose relationships, friendships, get kicked out of school because they can't handle the pressure of what comes along with a fraternity or sorority. Now, let me get off that. I've seen people get an elevation on their job. You made $10 an hour. Now you make $13 and your head can't get in the door. You bred everybody in your neighborhood could ride in your car. When you had that car, you had to put a quart of oil in the back because you knew everywhere you went, you're going to leak oil, and you got to put that in there. And you told folks, pray my car don't overheat, and we get where we're going. All of a sudden now, you got a new car. Folks can't eat. They can't breathe in your car. Nothing. Watch that. Don't get on my seat. You got plastic covering everything because you got to be ready. Watch this, to handle what God wants to do in your life. But when you have pure motives, I want you to ask this question, yourself this question. Can God trust me? Can God trust me? God's looking for some people who he says, I can trust with money, that can show a generation that being rich don't have to go to your head and you don't have to become evil. You don't have to throw nobody under the bus. You don't have to sleep your way to the top. You don't have to flaunt any kind of thing. You can just be who you are and watch God bless you. Is anybody that want God to use your life in here? Come on, anybody want God to use your life in a demonstrative way in here? Lift your hand and say, God, let it be me. So I do things for the right reason. I'm going to take it slow this morning because God's going to use you, but he wants you to do it for the right reason. The second thing is this. You got to do things the right way. And doing things the right way means you got to honor the authority that God places in your life. Martin, can you go to the next clip here?
Need a ride, Matt?
No, my dad's coming. At least he better be.
Can I ask you straight with you for a minute?
Sure.
I feel like you owe your dad more respect.
Why?
Because he's your father.
You don't know him like I know him.
I don't have to know him. You need to respect him because it's the right thing to do.
You know, Coach, my dad doesn't even like you. He thinks the school needs to find somebody else.
That's beside the point. Scripture says to honor your parents, and all you do is complain.
All he does is boss me around. He doesn't even try to understand me.
Matt, you can't judge your father by his actions and then judge yourself by your intentions. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. You're not responsible for him. You're responsible for you. You honor God by honoring your authority.
You really believe in all that honoring God and follow Jesus stuff?
Yes, I do.
Well, I ain't trying to be disrespectful, but not everybody believes in that. Religion works for some people, but I'm just here because I got kicked out of Westview.
Matt, nobody's forcing anything on you. Following Jesus Christ is the decision you're going to have to make for yourself. You may not want to accept him, because he'll change your life. You'll never be the same. I do hope one day you realize how much he loves you. I'll see you tomorrow.
My second point is this. To build with authority, you got to do things the right way. Can I tell you something about authority? Love is the driver behind authority. Authority in the hands of righteous people is beautiful. Psalms 29 and 2, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. But it says this, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Can I ask you a question? How many of you in here are righteous? How many here are righteous? Lift your hand if you are righteous in here. You in right standing. Yeah, you are. If you are saved, you are righteous. Make sure I'm in the right house. When you are in authority, when you are the authentic you, God says people rejoice. Let me tell you something about love, because authority can be abused and it can be underutilized. Love rebukes, it corrects, it affirms, it strengthens, and it covers. Love does not abuse, it does not demean, it does not condemn or destroy. Love drives authority, and when authority is in the right hands, people rejoice. The second thing is this. You got to understand the responsibility of authority. Authority is given to you, not because you're handsome, not because you're so gifted, not because you're so talented, but because God said, I can trust you. I have the responsibility of being a husband to Barbara. That's his daughter. And I got any fathers in here that got some girls? Any father here? How will you act? You probably act like Will Smith in Bad Boys 2 and Martin Lawrence if some dude act crazy with your daughter. Y'all remember that scene? How do you think God feels about his children? When I get to cutting up or I act up with Barbara, guess who God goes to mess with? Me, because he said that's my daughter and Isaiah his son. I got to understand that I have authority in their life because I am responsible to them. The fourth thing is this. Authority is different than ability. God moves by authority and not ability. Influence and power can corrupt you if you're not ready. So don't be so quick to sign up for stuff you're not ready for. I started preaching at the age of 18 years old, and I was in love with it and been in love with it ever since. I would go to bed at night, and my parents would tell you, watching preaching tapes. Probably for Christmas gifts, I would have them order me Noel Jones and these great preaching. I would just sit there for hours glued to the TV. I was the youngest, oldest preacher you ever want to meet in your life. I knew how to act old, and I went number 18 years old. Watch this. And I love to preach, and you can tell when somebody loves to do something. So I would preach, and people would start to ask me this question. It would go to my head. When are you going to get your church? When are you going to pastor? Can I tell you, if I would have listened to the applause and people in my ear, I'd have pastored way before my time and been messing up folks' life. Because your gift don't mean you're mature. You can have a perfect gift and be an immature person. You can have a grown man gift and a childish spirit. What God said I'm more concerned with is not your gift. I am concerned with you. I am concerned with maturing you. You look at some people and you think because they're so smart, they know how to make money, they knew all do all these great things, you think they're mature, and they're not. Your maturity is different than your gift. You have to mature to be able to handle the level of weight that your gift carries. Look at your neighbor and say, you mature? When you are mature, you'll know when to do the right thing. I knew this. I knew when I met Barbara, after the first conversation that night, we talked for about 3 hours on the phone. I knew that was a woman I was going to marry. I didn't marry her the next day. I ain't had the money to. But I knew this. I knew that she was the one. So guess what I started to do? I started to prepare to be a husband because I knew that she was the one. I didn't have to rush it because she wasn't going nowhere. God does you the same way. He will tell you what he's about to do in your life. And here's what he's saying. Prepare for it. I got a question for you. Are you preparing to handle what God is about to do in your life? The fifth thing is this. You got to serve with the authority given you. When was the last time you went to somebody instead of trying to correct them and said, how can I help you? How can I serve you? Instead of running up to your school and telling the teacher of your kids everything that they're doing wrong, when was the last time you asked them, what can I do to make your job easier when it comes to my child? When was the last time you went to somewhere and just said, how can my gift serve you? Watch this, because God gives you a gift not to make people look stupid. You know you can be smart and make everybody around you look stupid. And at the end of the day, you have demeaned who they are and diminished them in people's sight. That's not right. You can be charismatic and you can show the people up around you and you can go speak and work the crowd and make people feel weird and awkward. You can make your boss feel weird amongst his own team because you know that you're the charismatic one and he could be an introvert. That's wrong. You can show people up and show them how much Bible you know and how much God you know. Watch this. When you shut them down, nobody wins. I'm probably preaching the wrong sermon this Sunday morning. But you use your authority to serve. I'm the pastor, but I may not be the smartest person in the room. I may not even be the best pastor in the room. But guess what? I'm still the pastor. You are still who you are. I can sit in any seat in this room. And guess who I still am? The pastor. I don't care. You don't have to be intimidated, brothers, because there's some smart, sharp women these days. And your wife may can run circles around you when it comes to intellect and finances, but that don't take away from you being a husband. Ladies, your husband may can put a car on his back and walk down the street and walk back and just set it down. Ain't nothing wrong with it. You ain't got to be scared of him. God put you in their life. I'm talking to somebody real good right now for a reason. Use your authority to make somebody better instead of making them feel stupid. Y'all all right? The next thing is this. You got to have a repentant heart if you're going to have authority. When you're wrong, be honest, you're the first person to know it, unless you ain't got no conscience. And people can correct you. You know how you know you're wrong? Because you get defensive when they talk to you. Don't talk to me about that Jesus stuff right now. There you go bringing this Bible. Why we always got to bring the Bible up in time like this? Or you say things like, I know I shouldn't say this. Why are you saying it? I know I shouldn't be doing this. When you are convicted in your spirit, do something about it. People in authority are the first one to model out what repentance looks like and say, listen, I was wrong. I take responsibility for my actions, and I'm going to get this thing right. The next thing with this is you got to honor the authority in your life. Honor means value. Value is something that increases over time. Can I tell you something? My parents are sitting right here, And there were times when I remember when my parents didn't go to college. They put us through college, but neither one of my parents went to college, and they've done very well for themselves. And every time my mom and dad would call me and try to talk to me about college, I'm sitting here thinking, y'all have no clue what it's like because y'all ain't been to college. But can I tell you, they were right 99% of the time. Their opinion and their words to me have so much weight that I didn't realize what God had blessed me with until I had my own family, until I had my own wife and my own son. Can I tell every teenager in here, value the weight of your words of your parents in your life? They may say stuff that get on your nerves and may sound like they're the dumbest people in the world, but I guarantee you they know where they're coming from. Your parents may never tell you all the stuff that they've done, but they're coming from a place when they try to advise you. When they see little boys, young ladies, when they see boys walk in your house and they say, uh-uh, they know what they're talking about. They do. Oh, my daddy hurt my feelings once. I never really had my, the first girlfriend I had for 2 weeks was in high school, my sophomore year. And my daddy said, I wouldn't put too much weight on that one. Oh, he just don't want me to date nobody. He was right. She really didn't like me. She just thought I was a nice person and would give me a try. I'm like, how did he know that? Value, honor, their words have weight. Can I tell you something? Every God-given authority in your life is going to come under attack. There, if I be honest, y'all be honest in here, I pass the mic around this room. Some of y'all don't like people y'all don't even know. You just heard things about them, and then you just pick up stuff from what they do. I don't even like them. My question, do you know them? Until you get to know a person, you don't have the right to say I don't like them. You got to get to know a person. All right? Can I give you the levels of authority in your life? Because let me say this before I give you this. It's never right to disrespect authority. I don't care if your mom and dad smoke crack 7 days a week and they high right now. It's never right to disrespect them. I ain't telling you to give them the key to your house or your bank account, access to your bank account. Watch this. But what I am saying is that when you honor them, God brings his results. Because your honor wakes up something on the inside of them. Barbara has a way of talking to me, and she speaks to me not just based off what I'm doing, but based off who I am. I can be mad, fussing, and complaining, and Barbara can say, Pastor. Don't call a person by what they're acting. You a fool. You're ignorant. I can't believe you're acting like this. Watch what happens if you got a husband. Something wake up inside of him. Mother. Author. Psalmist. Something inside of you straightens up. Say, oh, that is who I am. Let me get myself together. Y'all doing all right? Here's how you honor authority. I'm going to give you five levels of authority. If you're taking notes, write this down. First is civil. And I want to preface this. Civil is elected officials. They're president, governor, mayor. You honor them by praying for them. This is not a political institution. You will never see a political sign up. We don't campaign here because we're a church. We're not a political institution. But what I would say is this. I hear people saying things about President Obama, and I'm not saying this because you'll never know where my support is either way. I'm not saying this because he's a black man. I'm a black man. If George Bush was in office, I would say this. Pray for him. The best thing you can do for him, for your mayor, for your governor, for every prime minister, is pray for them. Why? Because the Bible said the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water thereof, he turneth it whithersoever he wills. And your prayer works because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So instead of slander, pray. Because prayer changes. You know why you're here today? Somebody prayed for you. When you out there drunk, cutting a fool, running women, doing all kind of crazy stuff, when you weren't treating your wife right, when you weren't doing things right, somebody had the nerve to pray for you, and it got you to where you are right now. So pray for every elected official. The second thing is this. It's the second level of authority. It's not in order, but it's just a level of authority. It's social. You got coaches, teachers, boss. You honor them by not gossiping. Anybody in here lead people? You got people you supervise. Be honest with me. When you make one happy, you make five mad. And you got a daunting task. Because you got to do what's right and not all the time please people. Pray for your boss. Instead of gossiping and complaining and running they crazy, they're not smart. Watch what happens when you begin to pray. Watch what happens when, I'm serious in here, when you give 100%. When you give 100%, God comes in. The next level of authority is spiritual or church. Honor your pastor. Honor said authority. When you do, watch this. I'm not going to do things that you're going to like all the times. I'm probably going to do things, if you're a member of this church, you're going to scratch your head and wonder, what was he thinking? I'm probably thinking the same thing. Anybody would look back at some stuff they did, be like, I don't know what I was thinking that day. But watch this. If you promise to pray for me, I promise to yield my heart to God, and he'll get me right back to where I need to be. Honor spiritual. Let me tell you why it works. I was sitting down watching TV one day, and I was watching this pastor who had a nice church. Not that you can measure success by people, but he had a nice church. And I was sitting there, and I went from watching to critiquing. And I said, I wouldn't have said that. Boy, if I was preaching that sermon, I would have said this right here. Boy, that would have been the moment. I'd have had y'all run up and down the aisles 90 miles an hour. He should have went in right there. Oh, I felt a move of God right there. And it's like the Holy Spirit stopped me. And he said, look. He said, where you at? I said, I'm on my couch. He said, where's he at? On TV. He said, you watching him, he ain't watching you. You might want to take notes. I'm not saying become him, but he's apparently doing something right. How easy is it to critique somebody else's parenting style till you get your own kids? How easy is it to critique somebody's marriage? If I was married, I would never. Don't you never say never. Do I got any married people in here that know I'm telling the truth in here? I would never ride in silence with my husband and wife in the car. We're going to have perfect days. It's just going to be love just all around our house. It is, but love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. And you love despite how you feel. And watch this, as he said, God brings the results. You also honor family authority in your life. You honor your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your grandparents. I was tested on this week. Isaiah was sick the first part of this week. He was out of school for 3 days. You know, it was a little cold Thursday. And he walked out the room with the biggest coat that he has. And I said, Isaiah, why do you have this big coat on? Mommy put it on me. I said, Barbara, he don't need this big coat. It's cold outside. He been sick, and I don't want to get sick no more. I said, Isaiah, we're going to take this coat off. Barbara said, no, he going to keep that coat on. And the Holy Spirit said, shut your mouth. And I started to sneak the coat I wanted him to wear out the house. And wait till we got in the car and said, listen, we're going to put this coat on. But I didn't, and I'm glad I did. Let me tell you why. Because we're riding down the road, and Isaiah likes to ask questions. And I said, Daddy, I said, what, Isaiah? He said, I thought you were the boss. I said, what you mean? I still got this jacket on. If you were the boss, I wouldn't have this jacket on. I said, wait a minute. Every bit of man and father inside of me, we going back home, you putting this jacket on, I run this house. And the Holy Spirit said, stop. You teach him what happened. I said, Isaiah, I don't want you wearing the jacket. That was not my choice. But mommy put that jacket on you. And I'm not going to undermine her decision by going behind her and undoing what she's done. I'm going to respect mommy's decision. Mommy clapping. And I'm going to say, here's the reason why, Isaiah. Because when I make a decision, I don't want mommy running up behind me and doing the opposite of what I said. How many of us, our houses are in disarray because we got competition instead of agreement? You run up behind your husband and don't pay no attention to your daddy. Go on by that. That's just your mama. You know how she is. Go on, do that. You are teaching your children to disrespect the authority that God has placed in them. Here's the thing. Isaiah would never know about what we talk about behind closed doors. And that something as simple as a little jacket could have ruined our whole day. When you're in agreement, you learn to honor. Am I doing all right in here? The last thing is this, and I'll go into a time of prayer after this. Can I tell you this? I wonder how many more marriages would be better if the wife, I'm going to be blunt with this, quit disrespecting her husband. We're going to see, this is what we're going to do. We're going to see if this is going to work in front of the kids and everybody. The wife said something to cook, I wonder what this tastes like. And you disrespect their authority in front of people. And then you wonder why at night you don't feel the goosebumps or lovey-dovey feelings. It's hard to make love of a mess. Did he just say that? I'll say it again. It's hard to smooth over mess. When there is respect, watch this. A male will shut down when he feels no respect in the house. A lady will shut down when she feels no security in her own house. When we learn to honor each other, you're going to see God bring the results, even if you don't agree with it. Even if you don't agree with it, you can express, I don't agree with that, but I trust you. Barbara don't agree with a lot of the stuff that I say, but she trusts me. Now watch this. If I had ruined my credibility with her, I can't expect her just to sit there and be quiet when I done spent all our money and I got all our lights cut off. I'm the woman. I'm the man. Trust me. I can't demand that if I'm not proving myself credible. If I talk to her crazy like a dog and now all of a sudden I'm going to put my arm around her in front of church, she got a right to look at me like, I can't believe you're going to act like this in front of all these people. I got a deficit to recover. Even if I feel justified in what I said, authority says I'm wrong. I'm responsible. Am I talking to anybody in here? I'm responsible for my actions. And watch this. God brings the results. Here's the thing about the results. You can go to my next slide. When you do it for the right reason and you do it the right way, God builds a house and you understand this. Authority is given and it's not demanded. Luke 10 and 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Any authority that you have in anybody's life, you can't demand it. You can't manipulate them. You can't control them. You can't talk them into it. They have to give it to you. God gives you authority. I am the delegated authority in this house as a pastor. So guess what? I got to pray to God. God, what leaders do I put in place? God, how do I deal with my insecurities? How do I pull people in? Because watch this. At the end of the day, guess who God's going to hold responsible? Me. Somebody says, I got a word from God. I need to speak it to this house. Guess what I'm going to ask? What is it? Well, no, I got to speak it to the house. If you can't tell me, then it doesn't need to be said. Why? Because at the end of the day, I'm going to be responsible and you're going to go on about your merry way. That sounds controlling. Absolutely not. What would happen if you monitored the things that went on in your house? What your kids watch, what they listen to. I'm not telling you to sit up there like Inspect the Gadget and follow up behind bushes and who you texting, who you talking to. But what if you actually had authority and said, here's how things are done and here's why they're done. One of the things, and I'm so glad I listened to the authority of my father. One night, I never go to choir rehearsal with my mom, except for one night I went and this guy's wanted me to go over to this house and I called my dad and said, I'm going to go over to such and so-and-so's house. He said, no, you're not, and you're going to get home now. Daddy never talked to me that way. I don't know if he remembers this. Little did I know that there was a young lady there waiting on me to come to their house. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I would have said no. You know, when you're a teenager, your hormones just all over the place. And I may have had that be a little Jason Jr. walking around here and Isaiah. But thank God I listened to the authority. No, I'm serious. I listened to the authority in my life. What would happen? How many pitfalls could be avoided if some of us just listened? I know you got your mindset. You know you got everything figured out. You smart. You gifted. You listen to God. You got all kind of, you can machine gun the devil in tongues. You got all kind of stuff going on in your life. You know every scripture. You're like, you shouted with Paul. You walked across the Red Sea with Moses. You were there with the angel when they rolled away the stone. But can you listen? Is there anybody to be honest and say, I don't know everything? And you only see things based off where you are right now. But God puts people in your life who can see the big picture, that if you will just get through this moment. All right. So he said, I give unto you power. I'll get back there. You can be smart and gifted. You can have all the gifts in the world. But unless somebody trusts you, you're not allowed to operate in their lives. You're in violation if you do that. The second thing is authority leads to you being authorized. If you want to build, how many know you got to go to code? And if codes turn you down, I dare you to build. They will come snatch you and everything up around you because you are in violation. Can I give you an example? If I was going to Chaplain Sanders and Minister Lisa's son, and God gave me a word for them, you know what the right thing to do? Instead of just going directly to them and say, this is what God said, and this is what you ought to do. The right thing for me to do is go to them and say, listen, God has been dealing with me concerning your son, and here's what I believe he's speaking to me. Would you mind if we sit down and I shared it with him? They reserve the right to say yes or no. If they say yes, I come in agreement with their parenting plan for his life. Because all I see is one moment. They see him for a lifetime. So I come into agreement with their plan based off what God has given them for his life. I speak that into his life. They can take that and build off because it's probably something that God has already spoken. Many of us are out of order and we're out of lanes in life. Aren't y'all glad they put lanes on the interstate? Many of us wonder why we have crashes every day on your job. You're always into it with somebody. You're always bumping heads. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in your lane. Look at him again and say, you are not God. He is. Sometimes we get our roles reversed. We try to control it. God, this is what you ought to do. And God said, I'm God and you're not. Y'all right in here? The last thing is this. Authority commands order and brings results. You can command things to get in line with the word of God when you are in authority. I don't want to lose you on this. Mark 4, 35 through 41, Jesus was asleep on the hinder part of the ship. And the disciples, a great storm arose. Watch this. Jesus had told them, let's go to the other side. A storm arose and Jesus was asleep. How are you going to be sleeping? I got all this going on. Anybody ever felt like Jesus asleep and you in the midst of all hell and chaos breaking loose in your life? And you're like, where are you at? Why are you asleep? Why are you absent? Speak. Make my ear wiggle. Make my TV cut on. Say something. Let somebody give me a text, an email. I need a word. And y'all looking at me strange, but how many of y'all been there before? And he's asleep. They woke Jesus up. Jesus probably wiped sleep out of his eyes and said, he went to spoke to the wind and waves and said, peace, be still. And they marveled and said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and waves obey him? You have that same power in you that you, God has said, this is what's going to happen. And everything that's a distraction that gets in the way of me getting where God wants me to go, I speak to it. We had a great wedding in here yesterday. And man, we had a lot of weddings that are happening in this church. There's an anointing on this church for weddings and marriage. If you're single, lift your hand and say, let it be me. No, I'm serious. We done had a lot of them. A lot of them happened. Just catch that. Catch it. Let it fall on you. Fall on your seat. Yeah. It's in here. I was in the middle. I'm serious. I was in the middle of doing the wedding. We were sitting up here, and the wedding wasn't about me. And all of a sudden, my nerves start getting the best of me. And I heard Satan say, you're going to mess this up. You ain't going to be able to read. The word's going to be all over the place. It's a different font than what you normally use. And I will be, if everything just went blurry on my page. And I had to stop and say, hold up. This wedding ain't about me. I am serving them. And I'm going to make sure they have the best wedding ever in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, my eyes started to come into focus. My hands stopped shaking. And I began to read and even told a few jokes. And we had a good time on yesterday. Watch this. You can do the same thing in your life. You got a presentation this week and your stomach all over the place because you're intimidated by who's going to be in the room. Later for that, you got a job to do. You got to go in front of great people and you wonder, are they going to like me or not? Everybody ain't going to like you. That's just the thing. If people are going to judge you, that's going to happen, but it shouldn't stop you. Am I going to make a mistake? Am I going to do things wrong? You probably are. You're going to make mistakes. You may not get everything right the first time, but that shouldn't stop you. If I stand up and do what this, what are people going to say about me? They already talking anyway. You speak to yourself and say, I'm not moved by what I see or feel. I'm moved by what I believe. I don't care what happens. God has spoke this thing over my life. What has God spoke over your life? He said, I'm going to be married. And you ain't got a single dating prospect in line. That ain't got nothing to do with God's promise. You become a wife and God will send a husband. God said promotion. And they ain't giving out promotion in years on my job. Don't you worry about what they ain't done in years. You be promotable and God will send promotion. Banks ain't giving out loans. You get your credit in line and you get your ducks lined up and watch when God sends you what you need. Why? Because God will call things from the north, south, east, and west to line up with his word. And I stand on his promises. And because he said it, everything's got to line up with what he said. I like that little movie that was playing. Y'all want to see what happened at the end of that movie? And I'm going to close with a time of refreshing. I want to show you what happens when you do things the right way and you do things for the right reason. Watch the results of God.
Grant, are you not aware of what's going on outside in the field?
What?
You might want to come check this out. Mitch decided to bring his Bible class outside today. After he started teaching, Matt Prater stood up and accepted Christ as his Lord. It was awesome. He started confessing stuff from his life. He started asking his friends for forgiveness. Next thing we know, Bob Duke stands up and does the same thing. kids start breaking up into groups. They begin to pray for each other. They begin to ask forgiveness for sins that they committed. This has been going on for 3 hours. How did you not know what was going on?
You never give up on me. No, you never give up.
Proud of you, man.
I need to talk with my dad. I'd like to go see him.
I'll take you right now.
I want to close with this. Acts 3:19, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. God's about to do some things in your life. And you're about to, there's a refreshing that's about to happen. Acts 3:19 says this. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I want to do this as the Holy Spirit leads you. I want families. Barbara and I, I'm going to lead this out with her. And we're going to come to the altar. You may not come to the altar. You may stay at your seat. But God may be convicting your heart during this sermon. There may be some repentance you need to do to your spouse. I'm not talking about telling the whole details, but I've undermined your authority in front of my kids. I've disrespected you in public. I've not been to you what I should be. They may not receive it, but you're responsible for releasing it. And as you repent, there could be teenagers in here. Man, perhaps you've been convicted. Man, I've been selfish. I took advantage of everything my parents gave me. I haven't really appreciated it. I have this entitlement thing, or man, I haven't been completely honest. You may be with God. Man, I have not given you everything I have because I'm not where I think I should be. I'm not in the place or position that I think I should be, so I've been halfway doing it. Or you may be making promises that you're not delivering on. But in this moment, I want to have a time of repentance that we talk to God and we talk to each other. And I want you to watch what happens as we do this. I want family units to pray together wherever you are all over the building.
You have been listening to a life-changing message from Believers Faith Fellowship in Christiana, Tennessee, where Jason Scales is the pastor. Let us connect with you. Please visit us at bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org. Define your destiny. Develop in your purpose. Discover your potential. Come experience life in 3D at Believers Faith Fellowship.